Welcome to Alan Dreyfus Frontier Market Coverage. This is your host, Will McBain. Are FIRE and Sonko the team to drive Senegal's economy? Or will a new currency dent investor confidence? Today, I'm once again joined by Sherif Bojang Jr., an award-winning Gambian and longtime Senegal-based journalist who's the current assistant political editor at the Africa Report in London. Sherif, thanks so much for joining us again today when we'll be hearing your Senegal election breakdown.
My pleasure, really.
Senegal's imprisoned opposition leader Ousmane Sonko and the presidential candidate he is backing in this month's presidential election on March 24th, Bassirou Faye, were released from prison this week to scenes of thousands of their jubilant supporters on the streets of Dakar for their first election campaign event. Sherif, why were they released now after so many months in prison, and what impact will this have on the election?
Thank you. So Bassirou Diomaye Faye has been in pre-trial detention since April 2023 because he used his social media platforms to criticize a judge that was presiding over one of the cases of Ousmane Sonko. So that's why Bassirou Diomaye Faye was arrested, hasn't been charged, hasn't been convicted of anything, but has been in pre-trial detention, in prison since then. Ousmane Sonko has been in jail since July 2023, a lot of issues, but then convicted of defamation, as you will remember when the tourism minister, one of the ministers of President Macky Sall, lodged a complaint or a lawsuit against him claiming defamation. And also another crime that he was in jail for was corrupting the youth that emanated from, you know, an old case, an old trial. They were both released in the aftermath of or immediately after the parliament okayed Macky Sall's amnesty bill, amnesty law. But then the issue, the confusion here is for Sonko's part, because he was convicted and he was already in jail, he was tried, he was convicted and he was a prisoner, that could have been amnesty. So Sonko could have waited for the amnesty to come into force for him to be released. But what people didn't understand was why Bassirou Diomaye Faye stayed in jail longer than he should. His being in jail or his release would have had nothing to do with the amnesty law because he has not been convicted of any crime. Like I said, he's been in pretrial detention. So once he was all okay to contest for presidency and his application for as a candidate was approved, he should have been released. Notwithstanding, they got released. And of course, like you said, the scene in Dakar was amazing. A lot of people, crowds, everybody. The impact that is going to make or that has already made is the fact that it has emboldened an already strong, defiant, and committed crowd of supporters. That is their base. Sonko is not a candidate. Unfortunately, fortunately, Sonko is not going to contest. Bassirou Diomaye Faye, his hand-picked candidate, has been riding on Sonko's popularity, his star power, his charisma, and his appeal to the young people. Sonko, by far, is the most popular politician in Senegal, and that is what Diomaye Faye has been riding on, the popularity, because Sonko gave his base Diomaye Faye. So their presence, and even when they were in jail, you see the crowd, the massive crowd that they have been attracting in their campaign. Of course, Senegalese people already decided, doesn't matter whether they were in jail or not, people already decided who they were going to vote for. But then having Sonko come out and Bassirou Diomaye Faye in the crowd together, I think that has given a lot of stamina, a lot of confidence, and also added to the star power of the group. So this is, and of course, you look at the timing of it at this time when there is a lot of appeal and a lot of disgruntlement and a lot of dissatisfaction over Macky Sall's continuous detention of both Sonko and Jomaifai, for them to come out at this crucial stage of the campaign with just 10 days before the campaign, I think that is nothing but good, great thing for their campaign and Basir Jomaifai's candidacy.
But it isn't, of course, only Sonko's and Faye's PASTEF party or Macky Sall and his BBY party with Amadou Ba as their candidate running for the election. So, Sheriff, who are the contenders and have they formed any coalitions?
So we have a long list. For the first time in Senegal, this list is very long. It's 19 candidates. Among the 19 candidates, top four, Bassirou Diomaye-Faye, of course, 49 years, ex-tax inspector, like I said, riding on Sonko's popularity. And Bassirou Diomaye-Faye's base is the unemployed, disgruntled youth. Unemployment in Senegal is high, very high, has always been very high. I saw some report statistics that said one in every five Senegalese between the ages of 18 and 25 is unemployed. So that disgruntled, dissatisfied, and angry unemployed youth, the strongest base of Diomaye-Faye and Sonko. This is Sonko's base. This is Sonko's love. And these are the people who embrace Sonko. And automatically that transferred to Bassirou Diomaye-Faye. And that explains his huge chance of winning the presidency. But then we don't rule Amadou Ba out. 62 years, former prime minister, like Sonko and Bassirou Diomaye-Faye. He was also a tax inspector. He was finance minister. His campaign is based on continuity continuing from where Macky Sall started. But then what worked against him is the fact that despite the fact that a lot of analysts or people who work closely with him will tell you he's a technocrat, will say good things about, speak good about him, there is a lot of resentment and dissatisfaction in Senegal towards Macky Sall. And that automatically will transfer to his candidate, Amadou Ba. Amadou Ba was handpicked by President Sall. So experts, analysts, and observers in Senegal agree that Amadou Ba, despite him being a technocrat, maybe means well for the country, will be punished for Macky Sall's crime. Macky Sall, Senegalese, like I said, angry because he curtailed people's freedom, especially freedom to vote, because of his alleged dictatorial tendencies and actions, using brutality, using the police. A lot of people are dissatisfied. A lot of people are angry in the streets of Senegal. And Amadou Ba is going to be punished as a result of that. It doesn't matter whether he presided over those things, he will be punished. Then the third one, you have Khalifa Sall, two-time mayor of Dakar. He was jailed in 2018 for corruption, for fraud by President Macky Sall. And then he was pardoned by President Macky Sall again. He is from the Abdou Diouf's former ruling party of Abdou Diouf, the party, Socialist Party. Very popular in Senegal, but then, of course, he has been absent. So it remains to be seen how popular he still is, especially outside Dakar. And the fourth one that shouldn't be ruled out at all is Idrissa Seck, also a former prime minister. Until recently, he was Macky Sall's head of Economic, Social, and Environmental Council, and he fell out with Macky Sall, and then he left. He went back to his party, his Reumi party. Last election, 2019, he came second after Macky Sall with 21%. So those are all there. So between Khalifa Sall, Idrissa Seck, and Bassirou Diomaye-Faye, it is tight. The support base would looks familiar, even though from the street, from what we can see in the gathering in the street, Diomaye-Faye, PASTEF, Ousmane Sonko, they attract more crowd. These ones also are a force to reckon with, and then I don't think they should be ruled out. So it will be a four-horse race.
And sorry to put you on the spot here, Sheriff. Which way do you think the election is going to go amongst this four-horse race? And will we likely see a second round of voting?
the way things are, from what's been happening, and from the you know, words in the street, and then the crowd, and then the programs that have been put forward, the selling points for the candidate, I think it is fair to say that this will go for second round. I will be surprised that any candidate will win outright in the first round. This will be pushed to round two, and this is where the real deal will start.
And if Faye does win, will he be able to be his own man, or will it be a case of Sonko calling the shots behind the scenes?
Well, this is the question a lot of people are asking. So far, we've seen Sonko, because he also exercised a lot of humility. A lot of people will hail him for that because of his humility. So when they got out of prison together, that evening, they were the motorcade, and then a lot of thousands and thousands of their supporters. Sonko refused to come out. Normally, he will stand on top of the roof, rooftop, to wave at the crowd and then all that. But then he didn't do that. Only Jomai did that. And according to his officials, his inner circle, his party and supporters, he didn't want to take away the limelight from Jomai Fai, because Fai is the candidate, even though he is the force, the biggest force in the group, but Fai is the candidate. And when the next day when they came out, Friday the 15th, when they held the joint press briefing, the joint press conference, you can see Sonko in all his utterances and actions, and he tried to put Jomai Fai first so that people know that this is the candidate. But then that's what is happening. And then the fact that Jomai and Pastef, they're talking about the creation, their plan to create the office of vice president for the first time in Senegal's history, I think that didn't help the rumors that Sonko might actually be the president, the real president, and Jomai Fai will not be able to come out of his shadow, will just be there ceremonial. I mean, because that was surprising that one of the programs that they put or they're trying to sell is the fact that after presidency, if they succeed, Jomai will create the Jomai Fai, Basiru Jomai Fai government will create the position of vice president. And people are asking, why vice president if you don't want to put Sonko there? And if Sonko becomes vice president, what happens? But on the other side of the political divide, we face the same thing with Amadou Ba, Macky Sall, and the ruling APR government. Let's say Amadou Ba becomes the president. People are asking, is he going to be Macky 2.0? Who is going to fire the shot? Is he going to be his own president with his own plans and not, you know, being dictated or remote controlled by President Sall? These things are all on the table. These things are all in public discourse in Senegal, and we'll see what happens if any of them wins.
Sonko and Fai have said they will seek a reform of the regional CFA currency if his party wins the election. Can you tell us why there are calls to change the currency, and how credible is their intention to do it?
Well, that one is tricky. I mean, better said than done, because it will require a lot. I'm not going to go into the economic dynamics, specific dynamics of it. But then I think one of the reasons is that, like I said, it's appeasing the base. They are followed by and supported by the overwhelming majority of the base is the young people between the 18 and 35, that age group. And then when it comes to the currency, especially in Senegal, like we've seen in other Francophone West African countries, it's not just about the issue of wanting to change the currency. This is about patriotism. A lot of people, young people in Senegal, will link the use of currency, safe CFA, and France's role in the regulation and distribution of CFA franc across its, especially West African colonies, as a proof that they are not fully independent. So whenever that issue of changing the currency comes up, it fires up young people because they feel that it is attached to the very heart of patriotism, of independence. So when you mention that people are fired up, people want to know. That's why whenever that is mentioned, especially over the past 7-8 days, you see the response of the crowd. They love it. They embrace this idea because it is linked to their freedom. So they think to their freedom. So it's much more than changing a currency, for example, for economic growth or economic stability. It is more of, it is very much linked to politics and people's sense of belonging and people's sense of independence. Are they truly independent? So changing that, even to run that idea of changing the currency, you are giving the impression to the people that I want to give you the independence and ownership of your own destiny that you've been yearning for. I think this is one of the reasons, main reasons, that explains why they plan to change, or they talk about planning to change. I don't know if the plan can ever come to fruition, but then you look at the impact of it. You know, when since it has been mentioned, whenever they mention it, it's good for the support base. It attracts excitement. It triggers happiness and hope and all those things. And this is what people need in election. You want to fire up your crowd.
Absolutely. And Faye and Sonko have also said they will renegotiate contracts with oil and gas companies. Is this also a potential vote winner with the electorate? And more broadly, what are some of the main issues influencing voters? We've talked a little bit about youth unemployment. And I wonder how much of the cost of living crisis is a topic of discussion within this election also.
Okay. So let's digest this a bit. So for the issue of the promise to revisit reform contracts, of course, you mentioned, I mean, Senegal is on the verge of becoming one of Africa's, you know, top countries when it comes to economy and, you know, and all those, because as a result of the gas supply and the oil and everything that is coming out of Senegal at the moment. But when Sonko and his supporters, especially the top officials of PASTEF, what they all have in common is the fact that until now, Sonko and Jomai Faye, until now, no one can put a finger on something and say, this is where they've done corruption, this is what they've looted, this is where they stole, this is where they were involved in fraud. They were in a very enticing office as tax inspectors. They preside over a lot of things. It is very hard for people to maintain their honesty when it comes to touching money. There's a lot of corruption cases in the office where they work. And they will always, especially Sonko, will always put his fist into the sky and say, tell me one thing. I've presided over millions and millions of dollars. Tell me one thing, or give me one instance where I took money. So as we will assume that in the meantime, since nobody came to accuse them of theft or fraud or corruption or anything, they are clean. And they've been riding on that clean slate because of the fact that, unlike many politicians, they are clean and they are corruption free. So when they talk about corruption and when they talk about reforms in the sector, when they talk about having to revisit contracts, they're fighting corruption, and that is at the heart of their agenda. So they're not doing that, presumably to appease any crowd. This is what they've been riding on. This is their selling point, and this is what they solely believe in. And that explains why most of their discussion centered around corruption. Sonko, in the press conference after his release on Friday the 15th, he challenged the Senegalese people to sit back, think for a minute, and think of how Amadou Ba, his main opponent, how Amadou Ba got rich overnight. Amadou Ba is one of the richest people, wealthiest people in Senegal. He was a tax collector. And Sonko directly spoke to Senegalese people to say, he worked in the same workplace where I worked. We did the same work. How come he had billions and billions of CFA just from that work, while some of us who were there just made enough to live on it, to live. How did he, can you question that? So he believed very much in corruption and fighting corruption. The other issues, some of the issues that will trigger, or some of the issues that will influence the votes and voters. First will be the economy. Like I said, the joblessness. A lot of people who are following candidates are not following candidates just because they believe in their policy or something, because they are disgruntled. They don't believe in the status quo, so they opt for another. They opt for a change. So that explains why a lot of young people wouldn't go Ahmadu Ba or Macky Sall's way the same way they will go and follow Sonko. So that's another one thing. The other thing is that it's also linked to human rights. Like I said, when you take Senegalese people believe strongly in their rights to exist. That includes the right to freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. When you curtail that, you give them no option but to fight back. So you will have a lot of people who are voting for either Jomai Faye and or other candidates, the Idris Asex, the Khalifa Sall's, not because they even hear their policies or their manifesto, but this will be protest vote. They will vote. They are voting for opposition to vote against President Macky Sall and his candidate. So in voting for Jomai Faye, for example, you'll see a lot of people who are voting for him, who are going to vote for him, because they are voting against Macky Sall and Macky Sall's candidate. Because in Ahmadu Ba, a lot of Senegalese people, voters will tell you they are 9 and 6. It's 2 in 1. Ahmadu Ba is Macky Sall 2.0. So voting for Macky Sall will mean voting for Ahmadu Ba. So they are voting. So you're going to have a lot of people who are voting because they are disgruntled, because they are unemployed, because the poverty is rising in Senegal, and because the cost of living is so high and all that. But then you're going to have a lot of other voters who are voting for opposition, who are going to vote for opposition parties because they are voting against President Macky Sall and his candidate and their continuity. So there is going to be a lot of protest vote.
Thank you. The yields on Senegal's dollar bonds due in 2033 rose for a fifth consecutive day on Friday, while the rates on its 37 instruments climbed 2 basis points to 9.22%. So a clear indicator that the market craves stability. And in your view, what outcome of next week's election charts Senegal on the course with the calmest waters?
I think for a start, immediately it will be Ahmadu Ba victory, because that will be continuity. Investors, especially foreign investors, love that because that will mean stability. But immediately after election, what will make them comfortable will be the Ahmadu Ba victory. I mean, like I said, there will be continuity. I mean, they know that there will be no issues. They will have assurance of stability. Any other person, for example, Sonko, Jomai Faye, leadership administration, I think for a start, that might be a bit chaotic. That might be a bit scary for investors, especially what they stand for. I mean, of course, they stand for patriotism. They stand for a corruption-free transaction in all spheres of Senegal's economic life. And that includes the institutions, that includes deals, agreements, that includes also mechanisms that preside over investment in the country. And of course, a lot of time investors are scared of this. But then when there is a lot of stringent measures with regards to checks and balances and everything. So I think that might scare them. I don't know for how long, but what is guaranteed is that the Ahmadu Ba presidency, because its continuity will be a continuation of stability, because I don't think that will need any change, any major change, reform. For example, but then the reforms that Sonko and Jomai Faye and PASTEP promise, that at least for the first have for the beginning that might create some uncertainty, that might create some confusions, and some investors might stay hang on and wait. But at the end, the institutions are there, and what makes Senegal special is that there has always been a foundation, strong foundation. So whoever comes, probably you may want to talk about campaign promises, you may want to change one or two things, but at the end of the day, the institution is there, it's strong. Whether you change or not, there will have to be some level of continuity. And Senegal is at a stage where it cannot afford to have a complete reform or complete change of system. There will have to be compromise, and there will have to be some level of continuity in the interest of investor confidence, and in the interest of investor assurance, and in the interest of stability for economic growth, in the interest of the country.
Well, it's going to be a huge week ahead. And Sheriff, thank you as ever. Great to have you on.
Nice to be with you, Will. Thank you.
Join us next week when we will be joined by Charlie Robertson, author of The Time Travelling Economist, who shows us how education, fertility, and power generation are the keys to unlock development.